The Champion's Portion, Chapter 4. No sooner had they left Dunrodri and returned to Awamaka than the old quarrel over the champion's portion broke out again, so much so that Connor, exasperated by the whole affair, ordered the three foremost heroes, Lyra the Triumphant, Conal the Victorious, and Cuchulainn the Hound of the North, to travel to the far southern kingdom of Dan Munhain to seek the judgment of Cúraoi mac Dara at Slieve Mish.
"You can be sure," Fergus added, "that it is a fair judgment you will get there from him, for it is well known that he is just and fair-minded. But it will be a brave man who questions him, for he is well versed in enchantments and mysteries long forgotten, even by the Tuatha De Danann, and he can do things that no other man can do."
"You should go first to my father Ailill, King of Connachta, for that is on your path," Senscha advised. "For the way to Dan Munhain is long and treacherous, for you must go on the wooden plank road over the bogs."
"So be it," Cuchulainn said, clapping his hands together. "Let us get our horses yoked to the chariots. But I would liefer Lyra go last, as everyone knows his style of driving does not permit others to accompany him, both for the clumsiness of his horses and the unsteadiness of his chariot."
"Oh, you're right there," Conal agreed. "And besides, if we let him go first, the ruts his wheels churn up in the turf make tracks not easily followed for more than a season after he has passed that way."
"Ara, don't be jeering out of me at me for that," Lyra snapped. "You both know I am quick enough to cross the fords and the watercourses, to storm the shield wall, and to outstrip all the warriors of Awamaka. So don't go comparing me with famed chariot men until I get more practice steering and racing through hard and rocky defiles, until I gain the master hand."
And he leapt into his chariot and urged Sidlang to lash the horses on their way. Not to be outdone, Conal followed suit at once, but Setanta dallied where he was, a beaker of wine at his elbow, amused by the chatter of the ladies, and amusing them by juggling 9 apples above his head, never letting the one touch another, nor letting one fall to the ground, before doing the same with 9 feather darts and 9 bone-handled knives, the iron blades flashing in the morning sun. Meanwhile, Sedlang urged the grey mares westward over the slopes of Brega until, on a perilous descent from the heights, Lyra motioned for the chariot to slow down as a thick, dank mist enveloped them, making it too risky to proceed.
"Better stop here,"
Lyra ventured, pulling his cloak tighter around him as he surveyed the dismal scene. Sedlang nodded as he attended to the horses, unyoking them from the chariot and leading them over to some stunted plants in the lee of the cliff. Startled by his approach, a surly brute emerged from a fissure in the cliff where he had been sleeping. Grotesque in both size and deformity, the giant had a patch of coarse black hair growing down in a peak over his forehead, which was large and bulbous. Small, close-set eyes glared above a loose, fleshy mouth. Bunched, hairy shoulders supported a roughly hewn club, while a kilt of crudely tanned skins hung to his knees above broad, spatulate feet.
"Whose horses them be?"
he grunted at Sedlang. Sedlang glanced over his shoulders for Lyra before answering.
"The horses of Lyra." "A fine fella he is," said the brute, before suddenly swinging his huge cudgel at Sedlang, knocking him sideways powerfully.
Lyra saw his servant fall from the corner of his eye, and he bounded over.
"What did you do that for?"
he demanded. The brute eyed Lyra furiously.
"For the damage ye have done to my property,"
he snarled, before swinging his fearsome club again and laying Lyra low. Leg, concerned about the amount of time Cuchulainn was spending with the ladies, yoked the horses and stacked Cuchulainn's weapons in the chariot before going over to him.
"You're a right idiot, you know, squinting away here at the girls, while those other two have gone on ahead of you. I thought you wanted the champion's portion."
"Ah, you're right," Cuchulainn said. "Come on, let's go."
Crossing Mag Brega, Leg gave the horses their head so that they seemed to fly across the whole kingdom of the Uleid before beginning their descent in the darkness. Leg reined in and eased the mares, the grey and the dove, into a gentle walk as the dark fog closed in around them. No sooner had he unyoked the horses than a burly figure emerged from the mist. Gross and muscular, the giant held a heavy cudgel over one massive shoulder, from which hung a rank kilt barely covering his rump.
"Whose horses them be?"
he demanded, nodding at the two horses.
"They belong to Cuchulainn,"
Leg said, leaping back out of range of the giant's club and calling out for his master. Cuchulainn was there instantly, standing proudly between his charioteer and the brute.
"What is it that you want?"
"Reparation for the damage you have done," snarled the giant.
"Well, take this then," smiled Cuchulainn, and in one fluid motion he had plucked the long sword which hung at his side and sliced the giant across the back of his legs, toppling him forward so that he could, more conveniently, lop the brute's head off. Almost instantly, the fog dissipated, and Leg was amazed to find no trace of the giant, but in its place, the puzzled-looking Lyra and Conal as well, who appeared to be waking up from a deep sleep, curled beside their patiently waiting horses.
"What class of enchantment was that?"
Conal demanded, sitting up and rubbing his eyes.
"We must have met some of Satanta's cedar friends, I think," muttered Lyra.
But Leg could not help but notice, as the trio rode onwards towards Croacon, the large bruises they both bore, evidence of the giant's club.